This morning, I just want to take a thought from one of the verses and speak briefly, very briefly. Will not be long. Speak about this thought. What it is to have a Savior. What it is to have a Savior. Remember when Christ revealed himself to the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, she ran back to town to tell the good news. And many never took her word for it, but they went out of the city and came to him. They listened to his words. And then the scripture says that many believed on him for the saying of the woman. But then many more believed because of his own word. And here's what they said then to the woman. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Savior. Christ is the Savior of this world, not in the sense that all men shall be saved, but in the sense that he is the only Savior the world has. He is the one and only Savior of the world. So Christ the Savior is born. In verse 11, the angel said to these shepherds, "For unto you, you shepherds." He didn't announce this to King Herod. He didn't announce this to the mayor of Jerusalem or even Bethlehem. He didn't say this to the high priest of the Jews' religion. But it was to these lowly shepherds that the angel of the Lord says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I'm glad the announcement was not that of a potential Savior, but of a certain Savior. I'm glad the announcement was not of one who would like to be a Savior, if only people would let him. No, the announcement was of a Savior. A Savior is one who saves, who is able to save, willing to save, and does save. So the announcement was of a Savior that is born, which is Christ the Lord. Now, what is it to have a Savior? I just jotted these few thoughts down, and I'll share them with you before we go today. Number one, it is to have been brought to fear not having a Savior. These shepherds had waited long. They did not know this announcement would come to them. And when it did come, verse 9 says, they were sore afraid. They believed he was coming, but would he be coming for them? Would there be hope for them? I myself can say this morning, I've always believed that Christ came and died for sinners. And I've always known that I am one. But long did I wonder and worry if I were one for whom he came. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. If you've never been brought to fear, perishing without Christ, then you may very well be perishing without Christ. Fear. This is the first step, being brought to fear, not having a Savior. when the Holy Spirit of God brings you to a consciousness of just how holy God is and just how sinful you are, it brings fear. It does not help when people tell you you're a good person. It does not help when people tell you you're all right. The fear in your heart tells you otherwise. And it's a fear brought by God, the Holy Spirit. What a blessed, blessed first step that is. Awful conviction of your sin. How very awful and terrible and dreadful when you're there. How you'd like to escape it. How I wanted to escape it so bad. But oh, looking back, what a great blessing. Conviction of sin. Fear of not having a Savior. Number two, what is it to have a Savior? It is to have those fears relieved. The old songwriter Newton said, "'Twas grace that caused my heart to fear, and it's that same grace my fears relieved." It was God all the way. Amen. The angel said here in verse 10, "Fear not, fear not." Only the Lord can say that effectually to a sinful heart. Fear not. In ourselves, knowing how wretched we are, how sinful we are, knowing that God is infinitely holy, what can we do but fear? Unless and until God speaks effectually that word in the heart, fear not. Fear not. Oh, blessed thought. Three, what it is to have a Savior. It is to be persuaded, fully persuaded, not just in mind, but in heart. There is a Savior for such a sinner as I. To know this morning that He did not come for the best of men, but for the worst of men. That's good news to me. To know that He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's good news for me. To perceive His words, that the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's good news for me. For what it is to have a Savior, it's to be brought as a sin-sick soul to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of everlasting life. To be brought to that, to cry to Him. Did you ever think of this? The lifeguard don't dive in the water for everybody. He just dives in for that one that's drowning. That's all. Until and unless you're brought of God the Spirit, unless it swells up in your heart, and until it swells up in your heart, the danger of dying without Christ, and how near you may be to perishing. Unless you're brought to say with the psalmist in Psalm 73, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. This close to perishing." Until and unless you are brought to that in your heart, You'll go on being part of this proud-hearted, self-sufficient society that we're mingling with every day that we live. But all the blessedness of being brought by God to cry out to Him. I want to say this morning, if you can make it on your own, Christ will not come for you. If there's hope left in you, there's no hope for you in Him. What blessed, blessed news this is for those needing a Savior, needing a friend that'll never leave you nor forsake you. Christmas time is a joyous time for many. It's also a very sorrowful time for others. Those who have lost loved ones, those who have no one to share love with. Those who seemingly have much to grieve about and little to rejoice about. Can I say to you this morning, Christ is the answer. Religion is not the answer. Even church attendance is not the answer. But knowing you're lost, knowing you'll perish if Christ does not rescue you, and crying out to Him for mercy, that's your hope. Knowing that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and believing that you are one of those sinners. Knowing that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and believing that He came to save you. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And you say, well, what if I'm not one of them? Then you'll not come to Him. But do you want to come to Him? If you do, you can. If there's desire to belong to Him, that desire is from Him. If you have no desire this morning to know Christ, I have not much hope for you, because all our hope is in Christ. If you don't need Him, He certainly don't need you. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That is, I work intimately and effectually in their hearts, and they follow me. Do you long to follow Him this morning? If you do, you can. If you don't, you can't. 5, what it is to have a Savior. It is to give up on yourself, on ever being good enough, on ever doing enough, and rest in Christ alone. Mr. Spurgeon said, you may work your fingers to the bone, but you can never weave a righteousness that shall cover your nakedness before God. Never. Never. So go ahead and confess it. If Christ is not for me, I must perish. I have no other hope. It's me in Christ, and Christ in me, or I perish. Reach for Him, and never quit reaching for Him. Rely on Him, and never quit relying on Him. Rejoice in Him, and never quit rejoicing in Him. These shepherds found Him, and worshipped Him, and left rejoicing. I will tell you, we're not just talking about playing church here. Jeremiah 29:13 said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. But if you're never brought by God to search for him with all your heart, you'll never find him. Oh, if you could but trust in the Lord this morning and go on your way rejoicing in him. Never stop trusting him. And never stop rejoicing. And until that day when he says, you've sought me in vain. You've trusted in vain. You've believed in vain. You must perish. But that day will never come. You cannot truly seek him in vain. You cannot truly trust him in vain. You cannot truly rely on him in vain. You cannot truly rest in him in vain. You cannot perish in him. All that the Father giveth shall come to me. What then? And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never, under any circumstance, in no case, in no wise, will I ever cast out one sinner who truly comes to me and cries to me for mercy. The dear old hymn writer Fanny Crosby wrote, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Hear my feeble cry. While on others thou art calling, please, please, Lord, do not pass me by. Many will go out into eternity this holiday season. You know that, and I know that. We don't know who they'll be. If it should be one or more than one in our midst this morning, my prayer is that you'll take your final breath, trusting him who was born of a virgin, but born to die, who lived sinless, who died on a cross, who rose again, who ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high right now. Oh, the angel said to the shepherds that night, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's when the Savior was born. But then he died on a cross. And then he rose and ascended. Is given a name above every name, highly exalted, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this morning, except your hope be in him, you have no hope. And my prayer is that I'll see you all again at our next appointed gathering. But if it be not so, if there be one that never returns, if there be one that leaves this world during these days, I'll shine that thing at you for a while. If there be one of us, if there be one of us to leave this life, I repeat, my prayer is that you'll leave this world trusting in him, the Savior. The Savior. Not the one who could if you'd let him. Not the one who'd love to be a Savior, but the one who is. The one that saves. The one that dives in and rescues drowning folk. Thank God that he brought me to see myself that bad off and that much in need. And he came to my rescue. Bless his holy name. All right, stand with me.